Well, today being the ninth day of August 2026, we are looking at lesson number 6 today. This is part 2 of the lesson, The Gospel is for Everyone. And this morning as we sang that song, Everybody Ought to Know. You know what? That song just thrills my heart to death because everybody ought to know. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is. Now, I put something in the little bulletin for you this morning, okay? This is just some memorabilia. But you know what? I was thinking about how that God loved me as an individual. And I've got this picture in my office up on the shelf just to remind me all the time where the Lord found me. And if you look in that picture, we had picture day that Sunday at the church. And every bus route got their picture made. And I've kept that picture. Now, I've got the original. It's about that big, about 3x3. And I had it blown up and everything to put in my office to keep in it. And I keep a copy in my Bible. But Mrs. Howell circled. I put a little note in there, hint. See if you can find me in the picture, okay? And I'm the one standing in front of Kenneth there. Little boy there is standing in front of me there. He's standing up straight like a soldier on the front row, and I'm the one right behind him. And I think she put it looks like a red circle around my head, all right? But I'm the cute one there, okay? That's me, all right? That's me. But you know what? I am so glad that somebody loved me enough to come by and pick me up and bring me to church. And I got to hear the gospel. I was preaching a funeral yesterday up at Mount St. Mary's Cemetery. It's a big Catholic school up there. And I got there early, had to drop Lisa off in Union Bridge early that morning. And so I just drove up and sat in the parking lot and was praying. I drove around the place, got out and looked around at all the graves. There was a big sign up there that said this place was established in 1806. And I got to look, and they got a great big old gold statue of Mary on top of the college or university or whatever it is there, and paying tribute to Mary. And I sat there and thought, how many people in that grave paid tribute to Mary but never came to know Jesus as their Savior? And I'm glad that when I preached the funeral yesterday and it poured down the rain, I got soaked. Man, we got 5 minutes before 12, when the service was to begin, the rains came. And buddy, it rained. And I stuck my umbrella. I was trying to hold my notes. I finally had to just put my Bible in the car. I kept my notes in front of me. I put my umbrella in my pocket and was trying to keep it focused over my head here. And my notes, if you look at my notes in there, I left them in there to dry out yesterday. Everything was just soaked. But you know, the lady there, that she was at the nursing home, and she was saved. She knew Christ as her Savior. And to think that, you know what? Everybody needs to know. And I thought about all those graves out in that graveyard. Man, 1806. Since 1806. I wonder how many people knew about the Lord Jesus. And you know, folks, today, everybody needs to know. Amen. And the world is not going to do it. The religious crowds today are not going to do it. I watched a video this week on graduates from Vanderbilt University. Vanderbilt is supposed to be a Christian college. It's supposed to be one training people for the ministry. And when you listen to the testimonies of the folks coming out that were graduating and what they're doing, and some of them are, it's just not biblical. I'll just put it that way, very unbiblical. These colleges and universities have changed their ways of thinking about things. And no longer are many of them teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in the book of Acts, as we look at this, the main concern was that everybody know who Jesus is. I listened to a second video this week. I watched it. A pastor's wife, a pastor's wife, sat on that video and told everybody there that the greatest error in the modern American evangelical churches is everybody preaching the gospel about hell. Because what people need are to be fed. There are children without food. There are families without clothes. There are people out here in the world that don't have homes. And the church needs to go out and make sure these people are fed and clothed. And I thought to myself, you know what? You can feed them. You can clothe them. You can put them in a brand new house. And if they die lost in their sin and go to hell, I'm just thinking about the words of Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? You say, that's really out there? Yes, it is. I saved the video. I got it on my phone. It just blew my mind. This was a pastor's wife. And she said, I'm so proud of my husband that stopped preaching all this hell stuff. And now he's reaching out to the community and being the church that it needs to be. Folks, that's not what the church needs to be today. Our goal is to be able to reach people with the gospel. And you know what? That has been the goal and the desire of the Church of the Open Door ever since its conception, is to reach the community with the message of the gospel. The goal is not to build a big mega church, as they call them nowadays. The goal is not to be out here raising all this big monies and all this other stuff. The goal is to reach our community with the gospel. And folks, when you look at the book of Acts, that is what the desire of those men and women that were saved and were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that was their goal, to reach everybody, beginning first in Jerusalem. Now, last week, we looked at this thing. Am I ringing? Am I ringing? Does it sound like I got a ring? Okay. Last week, we were looking at chapter number 8. Today, we're going to start in Acts chapter 9, verse number 1. We come now to this chapter, and we're going to learn more about a man named Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. We briefly met him back in Acts chapter number 7 when he's standing there and the people are casting their clothes, their coats at his feet, and he's watching over them as they stone Stephen. You remember that?
Yeah.
And he was consenting with all this. And if you look there in chapter 7, verse number 58, the Bible said, and the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And if you look at Acts chapter number 8, verses 1 through 4, Luke writes here, he says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. He was in agreement with Stephen's death. And at this time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, I want to reemphasize this fact one more time. The gospel is for everyone, including Saul of Tarsus. Folks, today, the gospel is for everyone. Whether you're Republican, you're a Democrat, you're independent, you're in between, you're Roman Catholic, you're Mormon, you're Jehovah Witness, you're a Baptist, you're Presbyterian, or a Methodist, or whatever else you may be, The gospel is what you need. And that is the only thing that's going to set you free from the penalty of sin. It's the only thing. And I'm thankful today that the gospel is for everyone. God didn't look at this little bus kid and look at him and say, well, hey, you know what? He don't have anything. I never will forget one of the rich girls. Her dad drove the bus. He was the captain of the bus route at that time. They were pretty well off. They had their own business and all this stuff. And one year, she gave me a birthday present. A birthday present, which was unusual. But she gave me this little gift. And on the top of it, it said, here's a box for the man who has nothing. And now somebody to keep it in. And the lid wouldn't open. The lid didn't open. And I was kind of dumb, and I thought, well, how do you open the thing? And she just laughed. She said, you don't have anything, so that's why it doesn't open. And I thought, was she making fun of me? I mean, I was just kind of naive and dumb and young. And I thought about it. You know what? I didn't. But you know what? I had Jesus. And you know what? He's worth more than everything. He's here. You can't put him in a box. You can't lock him up in a box and open him up like a little genie or rub the lamp and stuff like that. That's not what he is. He's my Savior. He loves me. He cares for me. He loves you today. And he cares for you. And I'm thankful that the gospel was for everyone. Didn't matter what you got. Doesn't matter what you don't have. The gospel's for everyone. Now I want us to look at this second part of this lesson today. Because I want you to understand that even those who seem like they could never be saved, God is still able to save them. Maybe, perhaps, you're here today. And maybe, perhaps, such were some of you before you got saved. And everybody'd say, man, they'll never get saved. They'll just be a hardship on everybody all their life. And somewhere along the line, you heard the gospel. And the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of your heart. And he convicted you of your sin. And he saved your soul. And now you've got something worth sharing today. The message of salvation. Man, you ought to be thankful for that today. I'm thankful for it. I look at that picture every time I look at that picture. I think, I'm just one kid who had nothing amongst 60 other folks, and God loved me. He loved me. Adorable little me. And I'm thankful for that today. Amen. You know what? Let's look at this thing a minute. I want to remind you of what we learned about how God used Philip. Philip took the message of the gospel last week. You remember that? Mm-hmm. To that Ethiopian eunuch. Yes. Philip had gone to Samaria and different areas and preached the gospel to those that were hated by the Jews. And yet God loved them. And many folks were saved. We read about that in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 25. We saw how that God was willing to save that Ethiopian eunuch. One man traveling from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia through the desert. And God says, Philip, I want you to leave where all the blessings are right now. And I want you to go down for this one man. Philip goes and he gives him the gospel. The man is reading the book of Isaiah and he says, who's the prophet speaking about, himself or some other man? And Luke writes there that Philip opened his mouth and he preached unto him Jesus. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He was found in the Old Testament scriptures. That's all they had. And he preached unto him Jesus. And after coming to know Christ as his own personal Savior, we're going to read about it here in Acts chapter 9. The Apostle Paul gives his own testimony. And I want you to turn over to this passage of Scripture in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 22. I want you to look at it with me this morning before we get into the lesson. Acts chapter number 22. I'm going to begin here in verse number 3. Where Paul is giving his testimony, and he says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way. Now, this way was the way of Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. Paul persecuted that way. And look what he said. I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Now I want you to go over a couple chapters to chapter 26. And Paul now is standing in front of King Agrippa. And in Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse number 9, Paul himself told the king. He said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now look at that. Contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's what the world's doing today, folks. That's what the world's doing. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints, those that had trusted Christ as their Savior, many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And look at this. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Now you think about that. He had the saints of God put to death. Saul of Tarsus did this. And he's recounting these things. And he said, and I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I persecuted them. I ran them out of town. I chased them into strange heathen cities. That was Paul's testimony before he got saved. Now we come to Acts chapter number 9. And I want you to see what God did with a man like this. You think, that was wicked. He put Christians to death. And yet, the Bible teaches us that the gospel is for everyone. Even for people like that. I look at our political world today and I think, these people are wicked. They're vulgar tongued. They're wicked thinking. They're trying to destroy our country today. And they're trying to do everything that they can do to put the name of Christ out and bring the name of Islam in and all this other garbage. This communism now is being welcomed into our cities today. And the way of Christ is being put aside. But folks, the gospel is for those folks as well. They need to hear. You say, well, preacher, they'll fuss at me, they'll cuss at me, they'll call me names, they may do bad things against me. It happened then, it's going to happen now. Jesus said these things would happen before he came back again. And folks, here we see Saul's Damascus Road conversion. I want you to look at this. Look at this experience. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. Why? Because he had seen the light of the glory of the very Son of God shining down upon him, and it had blinded him. He was now physically blind. The Bible said he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Now I want you to think about this. As this chapter begins, we see the continued hatred that Saul of Tarsus had for those who were the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had you and I been there that day, we could have been the ones that were on the hit list. We could have been the ones in those churches and synagogues that were going to be put out and punished and tortured and compelled to blaspheme and put into prison and put to death. And folks, listen to me. They were looking for any of those of that way. Now let me ask you something real quick. Just a timeout point in this. If you were being put on trial today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Man, I thought about this. I've got this little, that little saying in the front of my Bible. I got it in my office in there, to keep ever before me. If I were to be put on trial today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict me? Boy, that's something to think about. No matter what happened with all this situation, with the hatred and the persecution that was going on, these people did not deny the Savior whom they had trusted. They didn't let it offend them. They didn't let it stop them. Why? How do you know that, preacher? Because everywhere they went, when they were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. We already read that. In his hatred and his zealous desire to stop what he considered to be blasphemy, what he considered to be spiritual wickedness against the tradition of the Jews, Saul of Tarsus went into the high priest. And he said, if you'll get me the papers that I need, I'll go and I'll make sure these people pay for this heresy, this blasphemy that they're teaching and they're trying to spread. And they said, well, what are you going to do with them, Saul? And I can imagine hearing him say, I'll do whatever is necessary to stop it. That was his way of thinking, folks. That was his mode. That was the thing that he thought about. Let me tell you, folks, it's a dangerous thing to take on any type of battle against the Lord Jesus Christ. And God would have been right and righteous in just destroying the Apostle Paul right there and saying, nope, I'm not going to let you do this. But God had chosen him, just like he chose the world. How do you know that? Because the Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You and I were included in that group. And I'm thankful for that today. And let me say again, King Herod tried to kill the baby Jesus. He tried to kill the new king of Israel. But the Lord didn't let him do that. Why? Because there was a purpose and a plan in Jesus coming to this earth. And folks, I think about so many times, what if I were still in that little Moravian church down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where I didn't hear the gospel? And I'm still trying to be a good person. And I'd been sprinkled and baptized and pasteurized and all this other stuff, trying to live the best I could live and still be lost in my sin. Listen, I could be dead today. I could be in hell today. And yet God cared enough for me to send an old Sunday school bus by my house. And those captains, I tell you, they came by for a year or more trying to get my parents to let us ride the bus to church. And after about a year's time, they finally said, okay, well, let them ride. And it was about 4 years after that that I realized that I was a sinner. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. Had it not been for a Savior that said, I'm going to love him in spite of his sin. Folks, that's what God did for you. That's what God did for each of us. Why? Because God wanted everybody to know. And here is Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus with papers, authority in his hands to do away with those of that way. And the Bible says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. You know what? That light, when you read in the book of Revelation, the Bible said there's no need for the sun, the moon, the stars, anything like that. Why? Because Jesus is the light of that place. Light above the brightness of the sun. And the glory of that light shined down upon a lost sinner and literally knocked him off his high horse. Amen. And the Bible said here, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. You see, Jesus is alive. Amen. Everywhere I went in that graveyard yesterday, they had little things with Jesus hanging on the cross. My Savior's not dead. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. And Jesus is alive today. Amen. And that same Jesus looked down at Saul and said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know what? Saul was convicted. And it's interesting to note that later in his testimony, as Paul testified before the people there in Acts chapter 22, we read it just a few minutes ago, he said, men and brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make unto you now. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to him, they kept the more silence. And he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death. And as he's telling them this, I could see it in my mind's eye. Tears are rolling down his cheeks. And he said, I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness. And all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and I went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He had a desire. What was it? To punish them, to bring them back, to put them to death. But listen to what he said. But it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Boy, I bet those were words that he would never forget. I bet those were words that would be in his mind and cause him to remember just how close to hell he really was, and yet how great God's love for him truly was. He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. You see, religiously speaking, Saul thought he was doing a favor for God. These folks that are killing Christians today by the thousands, they're putting them to death. They think they're doing their God a favor. They think they're doing a favor to Allah. They think they're doing a favor to their communist parties and all this other stuff. Folks, what they don't realize, they're persecuting Jesus. And Jesus is the one that's going to be the one that they're going to have to stand before one day. They're going to stand before him. They're going to give account unto him if they don't get saved for what they did. Saul of Tarsus never forgot that. When he heard those words, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then look at the two responses from that point forward. First from Saul, and then from the Lord. In verse number 6, Acts chapter 9, Saul's first response to the Lord was, the Bible says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then in the latter part of that very same verse, verse 6, we see the Lord's response to Saul. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Let me ask you something today. What do you think went through Paul's mind when Jesus said that? What do you think went through Saul of Tarsus' mind when the Lord Jesus said, You just go into the city and there I'm going to tell you what you need to do. I don't know what would have gone through his mind. Fear? Wonder? Amazement? Do you think he was scared? I do. I wonder if he thought, well, is he going to kill me in the city for what I've done against him? God is a God of judgment. Is he just going to put me to death because of all the things I've done against him? And against his son? What's he going to do? Do you think he wondered if he was going to die because of all the things that he had done in killing those of that way? I think it may have gone through his mind. It would have gone through my mind. But notice in verse 7, Luke says, "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, seeing no man." So those men that were traveling with Saul, they must have been dumbfounded as well. I don't know if they heard what Saul heard or not. I don't think they really understood any of that. But they saw the light. They saw the results of that light on Saul's life. He was now blinded. He couldn't see. They had to lead him by the hand. But whatever was going through their minds at this point is only seen in what they did next. Look at verses 8 and 9. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Neither did eat nor drink. For 3 days he didn't eat, he didn't drink, he just sat there wondering, what is God going to do to me? What is this Jesus who I said was dead and buried and was a false prophet? What is he going to do to me? What is he going to do? Is God going to kill me? Am I going to be blind all the rest of my life? What's going to happen to me? For 3 days, he sat there in the dark. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. And now he's wondering, what is the future for my life? Man, that's a question everybody needs to think about. I want you to look at it here. Saul's first contact with believers is seen in verse number 10. And here's what the Bible said. When Saul of Tarsus, he's sitting on pins and needles. He's sitting there anxious, worried about what's going to happen. Look at verse number 10. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias?' And he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight.'" Now think about this just a minute. Ananias is one of God's faithful servants. And Ananias is now summoned for a special work to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's probably excited about it until he hears what the message is. And the message is, "I want you to go and talk to this Saul of Tarsus." And when he's given the instructions of what God wants him to do, what the Lord Jesus desires for him to do, look at verses 13 and 14. "Then Ananias answered, 'Lord,'" now I don't know if you've heard the news, Lord. Don't know if you've read the Jerusalem Post or not. "But Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." Can you just hear and understand the fear in Ananias' voice as he's talking to the Lord? Can you understand where Ananias is coming from? I sure could. But look what the Lord tells Ananias in verse 15 and 16. "But the Lord said unto him, 'Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.'" You know what that says? God had a plan for Saul of Tarsus. And you know what? When God reached down his hand upon your life and my life, you know what he was saying? He said, I got a plan for that little bus kid right there. Lisa and I went over to Mary Whalen's house yesterday. She turned 84 years old. She's the lady that we bought the house from here in our church. She gave me some pictures of when they were building that house. I looked at the dates on those pictures. In February of 1992 is when they went out to survey the land and look at the land. And they went out and they started to work on it. They got the deeds, they got the purchased the land, all this stuff. And they finished that house in October of 1993. You say, well, preacher, why is that so important to you? Because in February and March of 1992, when I was in pastor school, I was up in Indiana, and God was dealing with my heart about surrendering full time. At that time, I was vice president of operations at Winston-Salem Ministries for the Blind. I had a position. I had money. I enjoyed what I did. I loved it. And I knew that God was calling me to full-time ministry. And I was stubborn. Good night. I was just stubborn. That same year, God had to deal with my heart. And my boss came to me and said, it was during Desert Shield and Desert Storm, and we were working around the clock, three shifts a day, 7 days a week, making stuff for Defense Department and all this other stuff. He came to me and said, I need you to do more, and I need you to do this and do that. And I knew I couldn't. He cut my paycheck, about $600 a paycheck at that time. And he said, when you get hungry, you'll come do what I want you to do. He said, now one day you can either be the president of this company. And he folded up his hands. And he sat back in his big old orange reclining chair. He said, or you can preach. And you need to decide what you're going to do. And it was as if I could see the Lord behind him saying, yeah, son, what you going to do? Months went by. I knew what God wanted me to do. Later in that next year, I turned in a 2-month notice and I surrendered to God. I didn't know what he wanted me to do. I surrendered to God. I turned in a 2-month notice and I left that place. I went there October 31st, 1977. My last day of work was October the 31st, 1993. And I went into full-time ministry, making $8.50 an hour, no insurance, nothing. And you know what? God has been so good to me. Since I made the decision to follow him. Now, you say, what's that got to do with anything? When I looked at those pictures, and I saw the dates on those pictures, it's as if the Lord said, son, you remember when I called you and I said I would supply your every need? I built you a house before you ever totally surrendered to do what I needed you to do. And I made it available for you so that when you did do my complete will, and I bring you into a land that you knew not of, I give you a place to live too. And now I live in that very house that was built at the time that God was dealing with my heart. God had a plan. And you may say, oh, preacher, that's just a bunch of nonsense. You say whatever you want to say. But the Bible said here, he said, Ananias, just go your way. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And look what he said. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Saul of Tarsus did not have a clue of what he was going to have to suffer when he got saved. But he had the assurance that through it all, God would be with him. Amen? You and I don't know what we're going to have to go through and what we're going to have to suffer for the cause of Christ. But I'm here today to tell you that the God that saved you, the God that chose you, the God that gave you a job for Him to do, will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And He'll always be there when you need Him most. And you know what? As I look at this thing and I get down here, we get into Saul's early ministry. We'll finish it next week. I look at this and I'm so thankful for the fact that the gospel is for everyone. It's for everyone. It's for you. It's for me. And it's for all those who do not yet know that God loves them and wants them to be saved. And folks, that is why God saved you, so that you could be a light unto them wherever you go. Amen. We'll finish out the lesson next Sunday. Man, I hope you'll be back, because it's just about to get good. Oh, man, it's about to get good. You got to come back and listen to it. Father, I love you today. Lord Jesus, again, I just want to say thank you for looking down one day and realizing, Lord, I didn't have anything in this whole world, but I had a Savior that loved me before I ever even knew He existed. And Lord, I just want to say thank you for making the gospel available to everyone, including me. And I pray, Lord, today that you will help us as born-again believers to realize, God, that those folks out there that seem so mean and cruel and so wicked in their sin, God, you want them to be saved too. But how should they hear without somebody to go and tell them the message of the gospel? How will they know that you love them unless we go and tell them? So help us, Lord, today to see the harvest fields white unto harvest. And Lord, be willing to go and tell everyone about the gospel. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach. God, will thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being